The comic book now owns pop culture, and that's a worldwide phenomenon. Film, television, literature, even music. These days, it's all about the comics.
I am Arrow.
I'm Batman.
Supergirl?
What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for, Agent Ward?
I am Iron Man.
And I am Spider-Man.
Hulk. Smash.
We're living the comics life. We're breaking the panel.
Greetings, weary travelers. Stay a while and listen. We are breaking the panel, coming to you with full frontal nerdity. I am your host, Soapbox Klotz, joined by Epic Boss McFall and the mayor of Coverville, Mr. Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
You've been upgraded to mayor. That's awesome.
Oh, it's self-appointed. I was the only candidate running that election, and I was not just that, but I was also a write-in nominee. And I was the only person who voted, so that kind of helped things a lot.
Yeah. It's good it's good to be the king.
I stuffed the ballot box.
It's pretty good to be the mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so welcome to another episode of Breaking the Panel. Good to have you guys back here again joining us. We got a lot of great headlines we're going to be talking about today, a lot of great stuff that's been happening in the world of comic books, media, pop culture, entertainment, all that stuff. Let's start things off with Marvel, who just made a weird change to the character Squirrel Girl, as if the character Squirrel Girl wasn't already weird enough. In last week's Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number one, in the very first issue, the titular character's mom shows up to visit her superhero daughter. It's a cute little subplot that hits the friends meet parents and Midwest mom in the big city beats effectively. But Doreen's roommate asks a question about Doreen's mutant powers. That is, she's got the ability to talk to squirrels and move with the squirrel-like agility. But Mrs. Green says that her little girl isn't a child of the Atom at all. And it's revealed that Squirrel Girl is not a mutant, but an inhuman. A change that is kind of a big surprise, seeing that this character was introduced as a mutant. Now, do we think that this is Marvel's way of separating Squirrel Girl from the whole fight over
Fox,
a fight with Fox over mutants? And maybe is this a way that Marvel is saying, if we do this change, as brilliant an idea as it sounds, we can have Squirrel Girl appear in Marvel movies and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that?
Yes.
That's what we think it is?
Can you just do that, though? Can you just be like, not a mutant.
Right,
we still own it.
It depends. Because I don't know how far Fox went with that stuff. Did they say, all right, here is a list of every character that's been mentioned in any of the X-Men movies? Because none of the Alpha Flight characters have been mentioned or shown or discussed. But does that mean that that Marvel could at one point say, yeah, you know, we haven't talked about Alpha Flight. We're going to say they're all Canadian Inhumans, and we're going to do a movie about them. Mm. Seems like they could.
You're right. It does come down to the legal contracts that they signed however long ago. So some of these characters, it might have feasibly been, and you're talking about 2 decades ago almost now, where they signed these contracts, selling off their biggest properties to survive. It was like late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
So maybe not quite 2 decades ago, but they might have put wording in there, mutants up till now. And then anything that came after that. Now, I think Alpha Flight was pre that, but maybe Squirrel Girl seems kind of new to me.
Squirrel Girl, I think, is new. I want to say introduced in the mid-2000s. I'm going to look that up really quick while you guys keep talking.
It also seems to me that basically what I think Fox has to do. Now, I don't know for sure. I'm not a legal expert at all. I don't deal in copyright law.
Oh, wow. 92, by the way. January 1992 was when Squirrel Girl was introduced. Marvel Superheroes, Volume 2, Issue 8.
But I almost wonder if they have to like register the characters themselves somewhere, like if they have to submit like a copyright claim on them.
Right.
And so it's very possible that they do. And then I would imagine somebody at Marvel's been tasked with go through all the copyright claims for the characters that we also, you know, own and find the ones that they haven't submitted stuff for yet so that we can retcon them into Inhumans and keep them, and then they can't steal them, kind of thing.
Right, right.
I don't know if that's the case. I mean, that sounds... It sounds plausible.
It does actually sound very plausible.
Because I imagine that's because that's kind of like what happened with Wanda and in Quicksilver, is that they were a little of both. Like they were Avengers back in the day, and then they got shoehorned into being mutants, and then now they're trying to shoehorn them back out and say, well, they're not mutants, and they weren't. You know, so it, I really feel like it's very possible that they're trying to go through the list and say, who do they have a legitimate claim to right now? And who can we snatch back before they can be claimed? And if that's the case, then that's probably why they're doing these things this way.
Sure.
And that aside, who's reading this Unbeatable Squirrel Girl book? Because this is like, oh man, I don't know. I don't get it. Like this article that we're basing this little conversation on, it shows a few panels of it, and it's just like the art style is like goofy, and I don't know who they're selling this to. but
it might not matter as more of just establishing the IP that, oh no, she's not Inhuman. I mean, maybe there's a whole plan all along. It's like, let's make a book nobody buys just so we can legally establish that she's Inhuman and we have her now.
No, there's a market for everything like this. I mean, I don't know. You know, I think it definitely seems targeted towards a younger audience for sure. It's almost like kind of the simplest Mike Allred stuff. But who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's not us. We can say that for sure.
No.
Yeah, certainly the case. I feel like they're probably trying to, you know, plug all the holes in the sinking boat, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Not so much that Marvel's not doing well. They are doing well, but like that these characters are slipping away from them sometimes. And so they're probably all hands on deck to make sure that that doesn't happen anymore.
For sure. No, totally makes sense. Well, I don't think we can't really say we're going to keep an eye on Squirrel Girl to see how this story develops, but we will watch the Marvel Universe as a whole and see if this starts to happen with other characters. And
it's also important to note that Squirrel Girl is actually, despite being relatively obscure, pretty popular. When she was added to MAA, Marvel's Avenger Alliance, it was kind of like people were really about it. And then when she was added to Marvel Heroes, the video game as well, same thing. People like paid to buy her and like all that stuff. So she has a following. You know what I mean? Like she's not a mainstream Marvel character, but she's got enough of a backing that people care about her. So it's a good move to try to secure her and hang on to her in case they want to do something going forward. Because I could totally see an animated series being based on her or something like that.
Sure.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, she's ripe for an animated series, and that could be that could be where Marvel says, "All right, she's not right for a feature film. She's not right for a guest spot on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D." But we can absolutely do an animated series.
Now, clarify here, because I do get my names mixed up. But Luke Cage married Jessica Jones, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it wasn't Civil War. It was, I cannot remember which storyline it was in, but Squirrel Girl actually was babysitting for them for a while, and it became this controversial thing because she was torn. I don't remember the exact thing, but she played in there. So I could definitely see her playing in as a tertiary character into some of these things going on Netflix, or like you said, even her own animated series or something.
I don't think she'd be on Netflix. Like, the character doesn't really translate well to actual live action stuff. You know what I mean? She's got that giant bushy tail and everything. Like, it's weird. You know what I mean?
It is. She, you know, if not handled correctly, she's like the My Little Pony of Marvel.
Yeah.
She did actually appear in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon series. She was in the third season in the Agent Venom episode, and she's one of the young superheroes that S.H.I.E.L.D. is monitoring. So you do get a little bit of an appearance there. And James Gunn, who directed Guardians of the Galaxy, has actually expressed interest in directing a Squirrel Girl movie. So
you know what? He did a great job with Guardians. I would watch that.
You know, if anybody could do it, you know, James Gunn. So
James Gunn, the unknown property maker.
Right, exactly.
It's like, hey, we want to make something huge. What do we do? Give it to James. He'll make it huge.
So moving on from the Girl of Squirrels to the Girl of Super. Supergirl, the CBS show, took a big hit after a great initial debut. After scoring the highest rated premiere of the 2015 season, Supergirl soared at a lower altitude in its second week on CBS's schedule. Entertainment Weekly just reported this week that the Supergirl episode Stronger Together was only watched by 8.9 million viewers, which is down a third from the 12.9 million that the premiere had last week. The episode had a 2.2 rating in the key 18 to 49 demographic, which was down almost a third, 29%.
Because they all went home from grandma's house back to their real lives. That's why. Dude, okay, come on. CBS's demographic is 40 and up. That's what's keeping them alive. I don't know why I'm so angry about this, but I am.
I think in today's world, networks... People don't watch networks anymore. They watch they watch streaming services. They watch what is on. Yeah. Like they record it, in the case of our household, we throw a bunch of stuff on our grab this when it's available on the DV, on TV, record it. We watch it at our leisure. And CBS is big with the procedurals, the CSIs. What the NCIS is
the same thing. It's the same show over and over. And you know who watches it? Older people who aren't in the comics, who aren't in all this stuff. I mean, if you really break it down, I mean, CBS made their bones with Murder, She Wrote. And there's nothing wrong with that. I watched the crap out of that show when I was a kid and didn't see the fallacies that, everywhere she went in the world, somebody died. She's the serial killer. That's who she is. But that's neither here nor there. CBS, it's so much was, and in my mind, has continued to be the old person's network. And when I heard they got the Supergirl property because CW turned it down because CW felt like they had enough superhero stuff going on their network, it just irked me that it was going to, and I don't blame CBS for trying to get into the ball game here, but you're a AAA team trying to play against World Series winners.
I think you're right on the money with a lot of that, because even though it's also a Greg Berlanti produced show, just like Arrow, just like Flash, there is a very different feel, a very networky feel to Supergirl that the stuff on the CW doesn't have.
And full disclosure, I have not seen the first episode. I've heard that it's good. I've not seen the first episode.
Haven't visited your grandma in a while? Is that what you're saying?
I haven't gone to Meemaw's house, so the only channel she gets is CBS.
The debut I thought was fantastic, and it's funny because they had it sandwiched right after a Big Bang Theory episode,
which is the best way to launch a show.
Had a great
that's their number one show on the network.
Yes, and this last week it was on its own. It was the 7 o'clock. It was the primetime leadoff show, and I think that probably was what helped it or what caused it to take such a hit, is that you didn't have a good lead in for a show that's brand new.
Yeah, and you don't shift it up from week to week time slots. What's wrong with you?
Well, at least not in the second week, especially with, again, you've got your nerd lead in show, Big Bang Theory, which I think you need to have as the first few weeks shoehorn to get people into Supergirl.
Yeah.
And if you throw it to the wolves on its own after that point, then I think that's where you start to run into problems. How about you, Paul? Did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I didn't even realize it had come out quite yet.
Another problem too, right?
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had the hype earlier in the year for it, but it didn't premiere at the same time as the other shows that came out. Mm-hmm. If it had come out the same week as Arrow and Flash, I definitely would have watched it. So I have to catch up on it. I hope it has a real chance to shine, but they can't, like Charles is saying, you can't keep moving it around. Like you can't do that. That's the easiest way to kill a show ever, is to put it on at different times. And 7 o'clock, that's insane. That's too early. Like people aren't ready to sit down until 8. You know what I mean? Like 8 o'clock is the 8 and 9 o'clock are the two prime time slots.
7 o'clock should not even consider prime time. 7 o'clock used to be post news time.
East Coasters.
well, that's the thing. Yeah, 7 o'clock on most networks used to be like when you watched like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. You know what I mean? Or you'd on Fox, it would be the two reruns of The Simpsons or something. 8 o'clock is when you're really like, that's when people are home, settled in. They've hopefully eaten their dinner. They're ready to sit down and watch some TV. So if you're trying to catch the traditional TV watcher, you need to start at 8 or 9. Maybe they're moving it around in time slots because they know that they can pick it up from on demand. But like,
no, see, you really can't. I'll get into that later.
Oh, is it not available on Hulu?
No. Okay. So I'll get into it now. Here's my major problem with CBS in the modern day getting a superhero property. Their online presence is minimal. Like, who's in 12th place of the Republican Party? I don't know. That's who they're like. That's their online presence. If you subscribe to their service, which I considered because I'm a huge fan of The Mentalist, loved that show, even though it was very procedural and it rehashed some of the same stuff every season. For whatever reason, I think it's the actor, which I've blanked on his name right now, but him, the main guy who plays The Mentalist, I loved him, so I watched that show. Mm-hmm. I was going to subscribe to their service, their standalone CBS online service. You could not get full episodes of that show. You could not get full episodes of Big Bang Theory, which is their other number one show at the time. You know, it's like all your big shows you can't get unless you turn into cable at the broadcast time. That's not the world I live in anymore, and I don't think that's the world most people are moving away from, for sure, cord cutters.
At least not the market for Supergirl and Big Bang Theory. Right. Now, you know,
while you guys talk, I am going to get on the Hulu and check it out, but I'm going to tell you, for the most part, Netflix does not have, on disc, you can get everything through Netflix, but streaming, there is very, very low CBS presence for streaming. It's mostly mm-hmm. crap you don't
want
to watch.
They want you getting their app, yeah.
Even in their app, that was the problem. Yeah, I did the free trial, the 30-day trial, and within 5 days cut it off because I could not watch any of the shows on CBS I wanted to see. Like, what's the point?
What I'm thinking is it's not just the app. You have to have the app and a cable subscription to log into the app, right?
Well, you know, I can swing that. That's no problem. I got friends who are still cabled up. Okay, so Supergirl pilot, it says watch on CBS. So then it'll redirect. I'm in Hulu right now, my account on Hulu. Mm-hmm. I can click on it, which I'm going to. Hopefully it won't make too much noise. And it takes me to CBS.com, and I can watch the pilot on CBS.com. Who knows how long that will last? And maybe they're changing. Well, maybe they're going to adopt a better online presence, because I can tell you, as I've been ranting, with The Mentalist, I couldn't get it. And with Big Bang Theory, which is the other show I really liked on CBS, I could not get it online.
That's just the pilot. I mean, I can see them saying, oh, yeah, you guys can have the pilot for as long as you want to watch. But if you want to watch episode two, sorry, you've got to, you know, you've either got to pay or something. So
right now, yes. Okay, as it stands right now, you can get both episodes, full episodes on CBS.com, which means you have to watch on a computer or find another way around that. Mm-hmm. Which there are good legal ways around that. Play On is a good service I'll endorse. That's a good legal way to watch things on your TV when it says, you know, computer only.
Cool. Oh, yeah, Play On, yes.
Mm-hmm. PLAYON, Play On.
Right.
So they still did well. It's not a death knell here, according to this article. They didn't win, you know, first place of that night. The Voice won that with 11.87 million mm-hmm. viewers. The episode tied Blind Spot, which has good reviews, and actually beat Gotham out.
Wow.
Which is only watched by 4.3 million people.
Blind Spot's one of the better shows to come out of the season, like the better procedurals. The Blind Spot and Limitless.
Isn't it Sif? The girl who plays Sif, isn't it?
Yes. Okay, yeah, Jamie cool. Alexander, yeah. Yeah. And she's, you know, naked and covered with tattoos in the opening credits every single time. So that probably doesn't hurt the young demographic ratings, right?
Probably not.
No, that show's great. Gotham, of course, still doing really well. This is a great season for Gotham with the rise of the villains. So
I got to get caught up. I've talked to people who are non-comic book readers, who are non-comic book watchers. You know, like, hey, did you see Avengers? No, whatever. Ant-Man, who's that? I said, no, it's Star-Lord who, not Ant-Man. But they are raving about Gotham. And they're like, oh, it's so good. I'm like, well, I need to get caught up. And they actually respect that. And they stopped telling me about the show. So I actually now have to get caught up on Gotham so I can catch up with it. Apparently, it's really catching on.
It is, yeah. Good stuff. All right, moving on from Supergirl, we'll keep an eye on Supergirl. Again, I thought the first episode was great. Second episode kind of lost my interest. But something that does have my interest as a World of Warcraft player is the trailer for the new Warcraft movie, which is going to debut this week at BlizzCon. A fresh batch of Warcraft photos and a teaser for the trailer have surfaced online, providing a closer look at three of the film's key characters, Human Knight Anduin Lothar, Orc Chieftain Durotan, and War Chief Orgrim Doomhammer.
And Orc number three from the left.
Right. But I'm bummed. Warcraft is going to open in June 10th, 2016 in the US, and the 16th in Australia. It's Duncan Jones, the son of David Bowie, and his adaptation of the fantasy world. Now, they've also, as part of this, released a teaser for the trailer. You got to love the day and age we're in where you don't just get a trailer for a movie. You get a teaser to tease the trailer right, that you're eventually going to get for the movie.
Which still currently in my book, the Deadpool teaser to the trailer is the best so far.
It is really good. Yes, yeah, for sure. So that's going to be unveiled this Friday, BlizzCon. So people with a virtual ticket for BlizzCon are going to get to see it. But I imagine that Legendary Pictures is going to fully release it. It's not going to be like a Comic-Con thing where, nope, only the people who attend BlizzCon are going to get to see this. I think it's going to be widely released.
Are you going to BlizzCon this year?
I am going to BlizzCon. Leaving for there in a couple days. And just really excited about, I don't know, hearing about Overwatch, which is their Team Fortress 2 game. A bunch of my friends have the beta already, and they love it, and I can't wait to love it myself. There's talk of a Diablo expansion.
I don't think so.
Oh, really? I just heard a rumor today.
Because my understanding was they don't have any slotted panels for it. But I could be wrong. Because a few of my friends and we play D3 and we're really hoping for an expansion announcement.
Yeah, there's a major leak on Owned Core that says Diablo's second expansion could be announced at BlizzCon 2015. Let's see here. An insider source email confirms that Blizzard has sent out an email to the press and the closed VIP community that they're not allowed to say any rumors about Diablo 3 before BlizzCon. It's something that Blizzard does before major releases. It's possible. Because, I mean, Reaper of Souls just came out last year. The announcement was last year at Gamescom, came out immediately. Was it last year? 2013, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2013.
So they've got a StarCraft thing that's already been, a StarCraft expansion that's already been announced. That one's going to come out right after right after BlizzCon. Who knows? Yeah,
I just did a quick Google search here, and I'm seeing some articles from the summer pointing at they were hiring for the expansion. So, yeah, maybe this could be a possibility. Oh, my excitement level just soared. Yeah.
All of a sudden, Klotz woke up.
Yeah, heck with this Warcraft movie. Yeah. You bring on the Diablo expansion.
Well, because honestly, for me, the Warcraft movie is like, we talked about this a couple shows ago. This very much has the risk of running like the Dungeons and Dragons movie of the late 90s.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to repeat the exact conversation we had in a previous episode of the show, but like, yeah. So, I mean, this could go very well or very poorly. And so I'm waiting and withholding judgment and excitement because I this trailer this week will let us know. You know what I mean? It'll go a long way towards telling us exactly what's going to happen.
For sure.
But yeah. So exciting times in the.
Yeah. Did Uwe Boll direct this thing?
No.
Yeah, I'm not going to go see it.
Hey, it's Duncan Jones. Did you guys see Moon? Well, you had to have seen Moon or the movie with not Stockwell. What's the guy's name? Hold on. I got to pull it up because it was such a good movie. It was about a dude who lives and works in solitude on the moon with a robot voiced by Kevin Spacey. And it was really, really good. Some really heavy duty sci-fi.
Never heard of it.
It's on streaming. It's so good. Came out in 2009. Sam Rockwell. I keep wanting to say Dean Stockwell.
Wow, yeah. Sam Rockwell's great.
He is great. And great directing job by Duncan Jones. Source Code, he did
I remember the cover for that, like back when there were actually DVD stores you could go rent from. I do remember the cover for Source Code, and it looked really interesting. I never got around to seeing it.
Right. That one's pretty good too. It's like Groundhog Day on a train, if I remember correctly. He's basically...
Oh, wait, Source Code. No. Yeah, okay. That's the one with
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, where he's a soldier, and it keeps repeating the same 12 minutes because there's a bomb on the train. That was a really good movie. I did see that. That was a really good movie.
Yeah, so that's Duncan Jones, too. I think he's going to do a great job with Warcraft. It's just so much great source material, and the fun thing about that is that it's already tried and tested visual source material, so he doesn't have to completely reinvent the wheel. He just has to make it look nice, and he's going to please a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, it has to be a story.
Well, there's already... I mean, that's the thing. The stories have already been established in the Warcraft universe, so introducing it to a wider audience. I don't think it's not rewriting a new story with all the Warcraft characters. It is telling the lore story behind the Warcraft universe.
Cool. And you know what? Out of the three of us that are here, those two are obviously BlizzCon people and Warcraft people. I haven't played Warcraft since like Warcraft 3. So I'll be the filthy casual to go to the movie and give that response. Because it looks great to me. The teasers I've seen, I'm like, okay, I don't really play the game, but that looks like something I'd watch.
Yeah, and if you have the opportunity or a way to watch it, the Legendary Pictures app lets you view a three-dimensional world. Like, you're on a rail, but it uses that Google 3D technology that you can get the cardboard glasses for to put your smartphone in. And see the whole thing in 3D, and it's a really, really cool experience.
Cool.
I'm thinking you guys haven't heard about that either.
No. I heard so cardboard and 3D. I'm like, what?
So it's these cardboard smoking. For like super, super cheap, for like under $5. You can get these little cardboard. It's like a little cardboard ViewMaster thing that you can put your smartphone in, and if you use the app that works with it, it displays two images on either side of your smartphone screen so that when you're viewing it in this cardboard viewer, your left eye only sees the left image, your right eye only sees the right image. And it also works when you turn your head that you see 3D stuff to the left and you turn your head to the right. So it's not just you're watching the 3D of whatever they put in front of you. It is an immersive head-turning Oculus Rift kind of experience.
Nifty.
So what you're saying, I was just going to say that. So what you're saying is somebody figured out a way to like cardboard hack Oculus Rift.
That's exactly right. Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Like, you don't get controllers or anything like that you could use with it. But as far as a viewing experience, it's really, really cool.
You've got to feel like the Oculus Rift people are like, really?
Yeah. John Carmack fooled you. Could do this with toilet paper rolls.
Versus a $5 chunk of cardboard. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
Back to the Marvel Universe for this next one. Reed Richards, the only Reed Richards in the post-Secret Wars universe, is a dick. Reed Richards is one of the most important characters in Marvel's history. He's the father figure of the Fantastic Four, the first superhero series that began turning a then unremarkable publisher into a cultural powerhouse. There were dozens of versions of Reed scattered all over the Marvel Universe, but now there's only one, and he's not here to save the world.
I've actually read this, oddly enough. Book.
I've seen this image.
I've clicked on the link. I've seen this image before, and I read some stuff where this particular one is out to destroy the other Earths because that will save theirs. I don't remember where I read this.
No, because this one appeared. That's right. This one did appear before. Before now, this was an incursion level Reed Richards that I want to say maybe appeared after Civil War.
Maybe
back when they were. It was back when
I said 2000. Okay, Reed hails from the Ultimate Universe, a 2000 creation launched when Marvel created the new imprint for more
There you go.
Can't speak.
So it's the Ultimate Universe, Reed Richards.
Yeah. Okay.
And he figured out a way to live after all the events of Secret Wars or the Secret Wars series. So he is now the one and only Reed Richards. And Again, is this Marvel saying, F you, Fox, you can have Reed Richards. We're going to make him real jackass.
Yeah, he calls himself the Maker now.
Yes. Yeah. And he's got the Sydney Opera House thing on his head.
Yeah. Yes.
But again,
man,
you know,
this really gets me excited about Fantastic Four.
Doesn't it? Yeah, right. And is that the thing? Is Marvel saying, sure, Fox, you can have the Fantastic Four. Here's what we're going to do with Reed Richards. And we're also, speaking of which, not going to have Sue Storm visible at all. No pun intended there.
Yeah.
And Johnny Storm is now on... Was he a member of the defense? No, he's a member of the Uncanny Avengers, right? Oh, I can't keep track of the whole Marvel Now universe. If we're saying that Squirrel Girl's maneuver was a way of Marvel taking back that character, this certainly seems like a way of not only introducing some controversy into the Marvel universe, which is always good, but saying, you know, all right, we're not going to have a Fox Studios version of Reed Richards out there.
So is Ben Grimm going to live in a dumpster or something now? Is that like the other thing?
That's right.
Like,
he's going to be a racist now. It's going to be Ben Grimm, the big orange racist. Take that, Fox. Yeah.
You know, now that I think of it though, I think one of our either Loot Crate, I think it's a Loot Crate or is our Secret Wars Collector Core box, came with a Secret Wars comic. It might have been in that I read it.
Well before that. The Maker was... The Maker appeared in the non...
It's a big multiverse thing going on.
Right. No, the Maker... I could have sworn has appeared in the non-Marvel... Or, I'm sorry, the non-Ultimate Universe for a while because I remember... Yeah, I definitely remember seeing him in that goofy costume.
Yeah, because I went, what the? I didn't even know it was Reed Richards at first. I'm like, who the? What is? Yeah, it's weird. Well, good on you, Marvel.
Yeah,
one more nail into Fox's coffin. I'm kind of honestly, as much of a jackass move as it is, I'm kind of for it.
Well, speaking of Secret Wars, finally, the Secret Wars issues are appearing in the Marvel Unlimited.
Yep, that was announced this week.
Yeah, so finally we can start reading those if we're too cheap to actually go out and buy the comics or buy them on the regular Marvel app. So I'm looking forward to finally getting a chance to read the Secret Wars comic. It's next on my list for sure.
Yeah, once I know they've released all of them, we'll do a panel by panel on it. But yeah, we've been waiting for it to come to Marvel Unlimited, and so I'm very much looking forward to covering that. I keep laughing at this story of Reed Richards. It's like, that's totally Marvel. Just kick a company while they're down, you know.
Yeah. And
what can you do? I mean, Fox just tried. If you don't do anything that stays true to the comic book, what do you want us to do? I want to kick you in the face. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just. You did take a legitimate storyline. You took the Ultimate Fantastic Four is one of the alternate universes where the Fantastic Four are young, you know, as they did their teenage young, college age young.
Yeah.
And they open up a portal to, I think it was the Null Universe.
Which is what the movie was closely based on.
So you actually take a decent storyline. And then apparently did a Bryan Singer to it and take a really hard left that made no sense.
Whoa. Bryan Singer did not mess up the X-Men stuff.
Excuse me.
Brett Ratner.
Okay, yes. I will take that.
Bryan Singer resurrected it after
that. All right. Mr. Singer, I do apologize. You're welcome in my house and studio anytime. Brett Ratner, you know, eat us something.
I think Kaiser Soze is going to pay a visit to Charles after this episode.
I apologize. Well, come on. I was very close in the names, but you understood the reference. See, that's how well you guys have learned me. You understood the reference. Yes. The reference was X-Men 3 was great, and it took a hard left.
Yeah, no, you had the guy who directed the first, the second, and the fourth X-Men films.
Okay.
But you got it wrong, because when it took the weird left turn, it's the third film that he walked away from in order to do Superman Returns.
Which I thought was a really good
movie. It was an okay movie. I think it came out at the wrong time.
I agree.
So, you know, yeah, he took a step away to try something different, and they butchered it while he was gone because they, I mean, he, from what I understand, he left in pre-production, so they were already pretty far along, but they weren't, like, shooting yet. And, yeah, so then they got who they could get, and they got Brett Ratner, who, if I wanted a buddy cop movie with a black American guy and an Asian man,
he
would be the guy I would check. Yeah,
he's the guy to call.
Immediately, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Was that a quarter in the swear jar because of all the words that I'm thinking right now?
Pretty much. Something like that.
But you got the point. So, yeah, so Fox, man, you took what could have been a great storyline. So I actually enjoyed that when I read that storyline and I saw what they were doing. And by all intents and purposes, you just buried it so deep, face first in the mud, that there was no recognizing it anymore.
When's that film come out on DVD?
Hopefully never.
Backtrack a little bit. When does that movie come out on DVD? Because I do.
When is that 2-hour abomination?
I do want to watch it so that I can tear it apart with accuracy.
Yeah, with accuracy. That's the only reason I watched the Twilight film, so I could actually tear it apart with accuracy.
Right. It is due to come out. Where is it here? Okay, it's not there. Oh, here we go. We'll look on December 15th, 2015.
Okay, so in about a month.
Yep.
A month and a half. Just in time for the holidays.
Right, exactly.
Disappoint kids everywhere.
Yeah, stocking stuffer.
Just in time for all of our fans with their sick sense of humor to send us dozens of copies of the Blu-ray.
Well, you know what? Let's hope they do, because I'm not going to buy it for myself.
No.
Something that has got some very mixed feelings, at least from me and I'm sure other fans of the franchise. A new Star Trek series has been announced, which is going to premiere January 2017. Oh, but it's the Tiffany Network. Yeah, CBS Television Studios announced today it's going to launch a totally new Star Trek television series in January 2017. The new series is going to blast off, this is from the Star Trek site, with a special preview broadcast on the CBS Television Network. The premiere episode and all subsequent first-run episodes will then be available exclusively in the United States on CBS All Access, the network's digital subscription video on demand and live streaming service. In other words, pay to watch all future episodes.
Do now, you want to kill a franchise? Because this is how you kill a franchise.
I don't understand.
So okay, true.
Universal. What? I thought Universal owned the TV rights because UPN did Enterprise. Right,
no,
which is Universal.
CBS is owned
by Paramount. No, I understand. But Paramount, see, what I understood was Paramount owned the movie rights, but this maybe stuff has reverted since then. But there was a big thing. UPN, which is a Universal Studios network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did Enterprise,
which was an abysmal failure.
Not a terrible show, but yeah, they did the same thing every other Star Trek did. There's a big time loop arc, and of course they go back to ancient Earth and blah blah blah. It was a lot of rehash, but there's a lot of good stuff to it. And you know, Scott Bakula, come on.
But CBS,
so I don't understand how CBS got this.
Well, CBS has always owned Star Trek. It's always been a CBS property. UPN. It must have had some sort of syndication licensing rights or something. UPN is Paramount.
Because Paramount always did the movies, always has done the movies. But they didn't always do the TV shows. Because I don't know where the original Star Trek aired, but Deep Space Nine, I'm probably wrong. I usually am, but it feels like that was an NBC property.
Well, here you go. Actually, Paramount Television was owned by CBS Corporation from 2006 to 2013 when it was purchased by the new Viacom. So during that run, during the time that CBS owned Paramount Network Television, which was 2001, 2005 when Enterprise was on the air, they did have that. So they did own, CBS did own UPN at that time.
Okay. So there's
interesting.
Yeah, I'm all confused. Yeah. It's all the legal ramifications behind the scenes that's getting me all kerfuffled.
Now, Voyager, let's see. Voyager is also UPN. Was that also during that same time frame, 95 to 2001?
No, that was before that time frame then.
No, yeah.
It was before, yeah. So, yeah.
And that was a freaking awesome show.
Voyager was great. Deep Space Nine, fantastic also.
Right.
You know, and of course, Next Generation is a lot of people have that as their favorites. But here's the thing. All of those were available on TV for sci-fi yes. fans to enjoy. There's going to be so much backlash with CBS saying, yeah, you can watch the first episode on TV. The rest of it is going to be, you're going to have to pay for it to watch it in our app. So
here's what I'm reading between the lines. Sorry to step on you there.
No. This is the time.
Effing mad about this. is that they're trying? Here's what I see in this: they're trying to compete with Netflix and Hulu because you have to buy Netflix to get the Netflix originals. And there is no broadcast anything. You have to buy Netflix. You have to buy Hulu to get Hulu originals. But the difference is they never, ever, ever started off on air. And both of those applications, Netflix has owned the fact that no, we're a time delayed service unless we do originals. We will let the Voodoos of the world. We'll let the iTunes of the world and the Hulus of the world pay bigger dollars to get that next day rerun stuff or charge you $2 a download, however you work at iTunes versus, you know, Hulu. So Netflix is owned. We're going to do a time delayed service. We're going to get the contract later, but when we get it, you're going to get all five seasons at once, you know, not just what's on right now. Whereas the other, like, I know Hulu does only the current season typically. Sometimes I'll get 1 through 3, whatever, blah. CBS, you're a broadcast old fart channel. Nobody knows your app exists. I'm the guy who consumes media like Galactus consumes planets. And I won't pay for your app because it sucks. So you're putting one of the most heralded properties in the world. And if you can see my camera,
Okay. Well, let me throw. So you bring up a very interesting point. Let's say CBS didn't even make any ties to broadcast, like broadcasting the premiere and then saying, all right, the rest of it you'll be able to get through our app. What if they said the whole thing is going to be going to Netflix. You're going to get all 21 episodes for the season all at once. And because it's on Netflix, just like with Daredevil, with Jessica Jones, with House of Cards, we're going to be able to do some things in this show that we couldn't do on network television. Mm-hmm. Have a darker edge to it or have a more serious sci-fi edge to it. The whole thing's available. You know, again, you're paying Netflix just like you would be paying the CBS All Access app. But do you see that as a different end result?
You know, see, if it were, yes, but if it were Fox or NBC, it'd be a different conversation. It's the fact that it's CBS that drives me crazy because they've screwed up every online entry they've done.
You just have a thing against CBS.
CBS is owned by Scott Summer, so, you know, X-Men Scott Summers. So that's why I have this.
God damn it.
So here's my stance on the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's already too many players in the market. So why are they trying to push their own? You know what I mean?
Right. Why can't you partner with Netflix or Hulu?
Which you should. I mean,
yeah.
Netflix and Hulu have proven that they're like...
because when you have that content, you can control how much people spend to get it.
This is true.
Hulu just brought in Showtime.
Yes.
But you have to pay extra for it, which is fine.
And HBO launched their own standalone, which is also fine.
Well, HBO was a little ahead of the curve of everybody else. Like when HBO did HBO Go, they did it around the same time that Netflix and Hulu were really exploding. So,
no, this is different. You know, there's a new HBO standalone. HBO Anywhere. Is there? Yeah. Oh, okay. So, little clarification: HBO Go, you still had to have a cable subscription to use it. HBO Anywhere came out this year for, I want to say, either $8.99 or $12.99, where you could just buy it and not have any cable subscriptions anywhere, and you still get HBO access. However, HBO is freaking known for breaking barriers and having just amazing, award-winning, mind-blowing shows and movies.
Mm-hmm.
CBS, not so much.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is I think the logical conclusion to all of this is like merge your service with one of the names, one of the companies that has established market share, like Showtime did. It maybe require an additional fee if that's one of the things, like an a la carte type thing. If you want to get the CBS package too, then you throw a couple extra bucks on your subscription. But like you can't, they have nothing to offer. Like even with a I think they really think that the Star Trek show is going to be the flagship for it. You know what I mean? Like
maybe it will be.
I don't know that it will.
I did not give UPN the time of day when it was launching until they grabbed Voyager. And then I was there for one. But that's the only, that's the only show I remember from UPN.
But Voyager still
Dude, same thing with me and CW and the, you know, never even cared about CW until Flash and Arrow.
But that's the thing, though, too, is like UPN and Voyager. Voyager still wasn't as successful as it should have been because it was on UPN.
Agreed.
Not available in all areas. You know, it's a weird station that most people didn't know. Like, you know what I remember of UPN? I remember Voyager being on it, and I remember, like, Outer Limits reruns.
Yes.
Being on it, you know what I mean?
Right. I do. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people, like, I mean, that's not enough to bring people to it. You know what I mean?
And then
I
think the CW bought them, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people missed Voyager because it was on a weird, you know, third-tier network.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing's going to happen. Like, I think this will fail abysmally if they don't highlight it in you know, put it on the services that have people who are there. And then if you want to, you know, charge the additional fee, by all means. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to attach it to where people are going already. Because Star Trek has lost a lot of ground recently. I mean, they had – the two films were kind of divisive of the fan base, you know.
A little bit, yeah.
Some people are fine with them. I'm in the camp where I enjoyed them. I understand that there are some objections to, like, the pacing and the more modern – storytelling that's done with those two films, but I get it and I understand why it was necessary. But there's a lot of people who are like, no, I want my classic space opera, you know, I want my, or maybe space opera is not the right descriptor, but, you know, they want that classic Star Trek feel. You might get those people still, but those people are very wary of new Trek, you know what I mean? Like, they're so they're gonna look at this like, okay, it's not attached to the movies, but I mean, come on, you know, is it gonna be new Trek kind of thing? Is it gonna be storytelling done in the vein of new Trek? Like, and so you've already got a fan base who is a little hesitant, you know, and then you're gonna be like, we're gonna show you one episode on broadcast television and then we're gonna put it on the internet in a subscription service. I'm sorry, I don't want to be the doomsayer here, but it's like you're going to kill it before it can eat. If they don't change their mind before it goes live, I don't see how it makes it past the season.
Well, and none of the articles, and I'm on the StarTrek.com site right now looking at this one. None of the articles, if any one of them would have said, we're going with this delivery method because it allows us to you know, whatever. Preferably, I'd like to say, you know, allows us to go in directions. I don't want to say we've never gone before. No, but but to go in directions for storylines that we just couldn't do on a network show, or to deliver an experience that we couldn't do with commercial television. You know, all they have to do is say that and they get me. But $5.99 a month is what this is going to cost. You're going to get all of CBS, you know, television for that. I'm taking it back. You're going to get, you're going to get thousands of episodes from CBS's current past seasons on demand, plus the ability to stream their local CBS television station live.
Wait. I was just looking at that. Check availability. 12 states. 12 states have streamed.
Really?
Wow. California has two locations. So 13 locations, and they're not the whole state. It's like it literally shows two locations in California that you can stream.
Oh, so that little diagram, that little graphic that they have.
That's what I'm looking
at. I just thought it's just like a little.
I don't know.
Can't be. Yeah, there it is. In select markets only. And there's no link to say what are my select markets? Here we go. The FAQ. Because I'm curious about this. Yeah, what is. Let's see.
That is insane.
Here we go. 110 markets. So a little bit.
So a little bit more than the graphics show.
This is just live TV. Yeah, there we go. So this is live TV. So this is you getting being able to watch live CBS, which is the hardest of all of the things that we described for them to get a license to do. Viewing past episodes of CBS shows, no problem, as long as you can get this. And Atlanta is one of them. Denver is one of them. I'm not going to go through the entire list of 110 markets, but it's, you know, Schenectady is one of them. So we're good there. Duluth, Minnesota. You got it.
I wanted to see. I was trying to see a list of their shows that they show full episodes on. And I clicked full episodes. I'm on CBS.com looking at the full access site like you are. I just clicked full episode, which it just says full episodes at the top. I automatically try to run NCIS Los Angeles. Apparently, it scanned me as a 60-year-old, you know, homebound victim. So there's some okay. free. I don't know, man.
You know how I gave you a hard time about calling CBS the old person's network?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the CBS All Access FAQ page.
Right.
Literally, one of the questions is, why is the CBS Sunday morning show not on? So,
yes.
Okay, maybe there's something to that. Where's Matlock?
Oh, man. So here's my deal, CBS. If you want me to change my opinion of your just ancient ways of stupidly doing things, send us the GSTU network. And that's at least 15 passes. Send us free passes, not the 7-day trial, free actual passes to this. And we will watch this show in its entirety. And we will review it. And we'll be honest about it. But I am not freaking paying to watch you ruin this thing. I'm just not.
Yeah. I probably will. Okay, you want to know? Here, there's a lot of shows that are available.
It might be better now. To be honest, I actually tried this when they first launched it, and it was nowhere near 7,500 shows available.
How many different shows available on the service are just police procedurals, though?
All of them.
14, 15. Hold on.
All of the above. I mean, 18, come on, man. Like,
22, 23.
I'm not trying to be hyper negative on this. I want there to be. I do want a new Star Trek series. I do want a current one done with modern technology. Like, I mean, what they can accomplish today. Like, look at Flash, for example. They use a lot of special effects on that show, but they use it sparingly, and it looks great. And they can do that with a new Trek show. And I would eat it up. I would be so excited to see a new Trek show if it's run well, has compelling stories and characters, and looks decent. But if you put it behind a paywall, I'm not going to see it. And if I am going to see it, the only way I'm going to try to see it is illegally, which is just like it's becoming we're reaching that point where it's tipping in the other direction, where it's actually more inconvenient to try to steal TV shows
right.
than it is to just pony up a few bucks and watch them on your favorite service. I mean, my household has an active subscription to Hulu and Netflix, and we consume stuff on it all the time. Put it on one of those services and we will come. I promise you.
And the other part of this is that CBS, all of the other offerings from the CBS All Access Pass are shows that you can see on TV. So if you have a DVR, you've probably recorded from. They don't have any other original programming that this app offers. So really, it is pay $5.99 for Star Trek. It's really what it comes down to. There's no other original programming that you get as part of this.
And wouldn't you argue that we, the three of us, and the audience we represent, that we are the demographic they're trying to reach with this step?
Oh, sure. Sci-fi fans.
Yeah, sci-fi, I mean, cord cutters. You know, those of us, we consume our media in different ways. And yet you're going about it, just backwards.
Well, I mean, they're not going to involve Hulu. They've got their own thing. They can dictate how much people spend. They may not get, you know, that's why they're trying to do this, to get the numbers up for people who subscribe to this all access thing, so they can get, so they can say, all right, you know, we can make it $9.99 a month as opposed to $7.99 a month or $5.99 a month.
Yeah, I just get that feel because I've dealt with too much corporate world lately, so this is just where my headspace goes. I just feel like somebody's sitting on a board somewhere, and they don't know what any of this means. They don't know why Hulu is taking off. They don't know why Netflix is killing them, and they're not even on TV. And so we got to do something, and you better do it right the first time out. And then they're going to do this backwards, and then the board is going to go, see, this stuff doesn't work. And like, because you don't know what you're doing.
Your implementation is flawed. It's clear just from the way this has been delivered that the people who are making the decisions just are not in touch with the motivations of cord cutters like ourselves. And I'm sorry, but that like the CBS generation is waning and the millennial and the, you know, whatever people younger than me call themselves and you guys, you know, you Gen Xers and stuff. we are cutting cords left and right. We are consuming. People barely buy physical books anymore. They don't buy physical music or movies. Right. I mean, they do a little bit
it's
here
on
and there.
The cloud and yeah.
Everybody is subscribing to services and, you know, watching it on Hulu, Netflix, you know, iTunes, all this kind of stuff. So, like, I mean, it would have been weird if they were like, oh, we're going to upload it to iTunes and that's going to be our distribution outlet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would have been like, all right, that's kind of like, that was like 5-6 years ago that would like have been trendy. But like, it still would have been, it still would have made sense. Or even Amazon, the Amazon app, mm-hmm. like the Amazon one doesn't get as much like press and word of mouth as some of the other ones do. But the way they are structured is they have a few shows that are free, but for the most part,
very few.
It's a subscription model for shows you want to watch.
Yeah.
So, like, that's how I watch Doctor Who, is my roommate pays for Doctor Who for the whole season. And when the new episode comes out, we get it. You know what I mean? We pay to watch that. In that regard, though, it's on a service that is already jacked into, like, the PlayStation, the mm-hmm. Xbox, you mm-hmm. know. And that's a key thing, is gaming systems have turned into entertainment systems and people are using their TVs to watch these streaming services. This service, is it on these devices yet?
No, it's only on like Roku, Apple, Chromecast, and
yeah.
And there was one other, but no, it's not on
again,
any gaming
you know,
services.
The market that has PlayStations and Xboxes yeah. are the target market for the show. Now, right. I did a quick look and in iTunes, CBS does have their other full season offerings. Maybe they'll go that route.
Maybe.
But
I looked at our last section is what are you watching? I looked at what I'm watching and I Googled it. And I'm watching a CBS show on Netflix. But we'll get to it when we get to it. But they are branching out. I know there's a couple of procedurals that I watch on Netflix from CBS. But it's comparative to NBC, who almost, it seems like, literally dumps everything they have next day on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And other channels like Fox, who you can pretty much look up any Fox show, especially past ones, and it's all there on Netflix streaming. You know, comparative to your competition, they're doing way more for our market than you are. And you come out of the gate going, hey, here's one show of a property you're absolutely going to love. And you have to just take a gamble and spend money and hope that we mm-hmm. do something right with it. Ugh. As opposed to proving you can do something right with it, then asking for money.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, let's see here. What's our time right now?
We are at an hour.
Okay. Let's randomly choose an article from the Wheel of Fate.
Nice.
Did that without my mixer button.
All right. Somebody close your eyes and pick 1 through 5.
I'm looking at the list. So, Paul, pick a number between 1 through 5.
4.
All right. Nicole Kidman and Wonder Woman. Why is my link not popping? I'm going to have to copy and paste here. So this is my wheelhouse. Just looking up stupid headlines or weird headlines mm-hmm. in the comics and popping it in case we have time. And this week we did.
And we have time.
And so this is from newsarama.com. Report. I'm reading the headlines that's written. Report. Nicole Kidman, all caps, cast in Wonder Woman. This was announced today. Yesterday. It's announced yesterday.
This is in the new Gal Gadot Wonder Woman
mm-hmm.
movie.
Yeah, this is new.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nicole Kidman has joined Warner Brothers' Wonder Woman movie as a high-ranking, in quotes, Amazon warrior, according to The Wrap. Citing a source familiar with the project, the website goes on to speculate that Kidman's role could be... I never pronounced it
right. Go for it. Try it. Come on, sound it out.
Hippolyta? Hippolyta?
Hippolyta?
Hippolyta?
I don't know. I've always said Hippolyta, but...
Okay, I have no idea. It's Greek, and it's Hippolyto. I don't know. If cast, this would be a return to the cinematic DCU for Kim. It's not the DCU. They actually, officially, they call it something different. It's like, it's like, because MCU is there. It's like DC on-screen universe or something. It's some right. weird... DC yeah. on screen actually talked about it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so, I know what they're trying to say. Yeah. They're trying to say the cinematic universe, DC cinematic
yeah,
universe.
Yeah, but DC actually officially yeah. calls it something different. I don't remember
what. Right, right.
But anyway, she played Bruce Wayne's love interest, Dr. Chase Meriden, in 1995's Meridian, and Batman Forever. That's a forgettable role. The Wrap's report was also that Chris Pine, who is Captain Kirk in the aforementioned Star Trek that we just did 20 minutes on, is playing Steve Trevor in the film, which has not been officially confirmed. Wonder
oh, really?
Woman.
I thought that was, huh?
Wonder Woman stars Gal Gadot as the Amazonian warrior princess, well, and set to hit in summer of 2017. Yes, sir.
So it does have a date now? Because I know it got stalled because they kept losing directors.
I won't go to IMDb. According to this, it says it's set for June 23rd, 2017. Let me go IMDb. So what do you guys think about Nicole Kidman returning to anything comic related?
Oh, you kidding? That's great. And seeing her as an Amazon warrior? Bring it on.
I'm the opposite. I just hate her.
Really?
I just have not liked anything. I like the movie she's been in. I just don't like.
Do you think she's responsible for Tom Cruise getting crazy?
No. Tom Cruise is totally responsible for him. You're crazy.
Tom Cruise made himself crazy. Yeah.
Lord Xenu is responsible for Tom Cruise getting crazy.
Right.
I don't know what it is. There's just something about her that when she speaks, it's like, half of me likes you, the other half of me wants to, I don't know, I hate you.
Wow.
You have really strong feelings about Nicole Kidman.
Can you imagine what happened if Nicole Kidman was on CBS? I think Charles would just explode.
I think she's a fantastic actress, and I'm sure she'll do a great job. So, you know, this is cool. I mean, there's some comments under this article. Like somebody mentioned, nothing against Miss Kidman, but if anybody should be Queen Hippolyta, I believe it's Hippolyta or Hippolyta.
I'm gonna go with whatever you guys say.
It's Greek, so it's probably Hippolyta. It should be Miss Linda Carter. And then somebody responded, somebody responded, the only problem with Linda Carter is she hasn't been in anything in a long time.
Super Troopers. Come on. Is that not the best cameo ever?
I can't remember. I don't remember that
she was the mayor or the city councilwoman or something.
Yeah, she was. You're right.
I can remember some random shit. I'm just telling you.
No, you're right. And I'm thinking, like, that movie was so, like, B or C list at the time.
I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's a cult classic now, but, like, wow. Times must have been pretty tough.
She'll appear. She'll be in it. Linda Carter will make a cameo for sure. I think I'm looking at her photos right now from 2015. She still looks great,
but she does
look too old to play
Hippolyta.
It's funny. I'll tell a really quick story about Linda Carter. So my uncle.
George or a different one?
No, different uncle. This is the British one who lives in California. Was dating a woman who lived in Beverly Hills, a woman named Deborah. And I was really young at the time. I was like 12, 13. And I was on one of my 2-week trips out to California to spend some time with my grandparents. And he says, well, I'm going to be taking Deborah out to Magic Mountain. Would you like to come? Like, yeah, sure. So we went over to Deborah's house in Beverly Hills, picked her up in my uncle's awesome convertible MG Midget. Oh, such a great car. And, I'm in the back seat, the two of them, of course, in the front seat. And as we're leaving Deborah's neighborhood, she says, oh, pull over here, go into that driveway. And my uncle says, oh, okay, sure. And this was in the days when Wonder Woman was on TV. And she says, this is Linda Carter's house right here. We're in Linda Carter's driveway.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And then she and then she surprised my uncle by leaning over and just honking the horn like, ear, 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 ear. And he like peels out of there as he could not get out of that driveway fast enough.
Oh, I was hoping for a slightly different ending where she had arranged it. She was friends with her and he had to meet her. Great, but still, that's funny.
And they're now married, and they've been married for the last, 38 years or however many years it's been.
And you still haven't met Linda Carter.
And I still haven't met Linda Carter. Well, they don't live in Beverly Hills anymore. They live in Simi Valley, but,
Okay, so go back to IMDb. Nicole Kidman is listed as rumored. Gal is locked in as Wonder Woman. And Chris Pine is locked in as Steve Trevor.
Yeah, he's taking the Lyle Waggoner role. I thought that was confirmed.
It does have a June 23rd, 2017 date. But here's kind of a knock to the movie. Here's kind of a downside to the movie.
Uh-oh.
People who also like this liked Aquaman 2018. The plot is unknown.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It's like, all right, I'm going to like all the DC movies I haven't seen yet.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, there was a thing about that for X-Files. Somebody went and checked it out on, I think it was IMDb, and it had over 800 positive reviews already.
It's not even out.
Yeah. Yeah. The comeback hasn't even hit yet. And so it just goes to show you that most ratings on most sites are completely pointless because they're not. There are people in services that are paid to, you know, start things like
Give reviews. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. You know who was one of the people considered for, and actually not just screen tested, but even shot a pilot, if I remember correctly, for the Wonder Woman TV show, not for the movie, Adrian Palicki, who plays Mockingbird on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That would have been good.
I will watch her do anything. She was awesome on Friday Night Lights. She's been awesome on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know you like Supernatural, and she's been on that.
Yes.
Really? Sure. I didn't know she was on Supernatural.
That's cool. That's what this says.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but...
Supernatural is one of those shows that I've watched a couple episodes of, but I haven't, like, really dug in yet.
Oh, come on, man. Come to my house. I will watch it again with you. I've watched, it's like in season 11 now. I think I've watched at least the first 8 seasons 2 or 3 times. I find somebody like you who's like, yeah, I kind of want to listen. Like, oh, let's watch. And we'll sit down and I'll watch it again. And it's really good. Just for shits and giggles, Super Troopers 2 has no release date yet.
Oh, well, but it's got 17 filming. Positive reviews.
Yeah. Actually, what's funny, it says not yet released. Voting begins after release. That's what it says. Which is
Know they just announced in the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks, that they just started filming. So they crowdsourced part of the budget for it too. So.
Yes, which I wish I'd known ahead of time because I'd have been a shut up and take my money moment. I would have so kickstarted that thing.
There are a few comedies of that era that get quoted as much as that movie does still to this day. You know what I mean? Like, it really was a cult, you know, classic. Like, it just... Funny story. I was a senior in high school that year, and we had some funds left over from all our fundraising after we took our senior trip. So we figured out that we could budget to take 2 trips to the movies in our senior year. And we chose Super Troopers, and the other one was some ghost movie at the time with the famous girl from American Pie. I forget her name. Shannon Elizabeth or whatever. But we went to go see Super Troopers, not realizing how raunchy and bad, you know, like truly inappropriate that film is.
Yeah.
And our class advisor was mortified afterwards on the bus ride back home because she was just like, you guys cannot tell anybody that we said, like, she was just like, you have to sweep this under the rug. This never happened. I can't believe that we just, like, officially on a school outing went to go see this movie. You just cannot acknowledge this is happening. That movie will always be legendary for me. It's
13 Ghosts, by the way.
13 Ghosts, yep. That's the one. Which was a really creepy movie. That movie affected me for a long
really
time.
Good creepy movie, yeah.
It's unfortunate, though, because, like, she, like, just stopped being famous after that. Like, I mean, she stopped doing movies and stuff, as far as I could tell.
She went on to play poker semi-professionally and did pretty well with it. And, of course, kind of like the sci-fi stars, like, where'd they go? Well, they hit the circuit. And she became famous enough in the poker circuit with her movies that she basically just hit the poker circuit doing signings and autographs and playing in tournaments and stuff. I saw her...
It's always interesting to see how some people hit the circuit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all you have to do is have like one hit show and then, what?
Yeah, Jennifer Tilly did that too.
Yep.
Oh, yep. So, very cool.
All right, do y'all want to do another one or are we...
I'd say let's start talking about what we're reading, playing, watching because that'll take some time too. So, not like we're trying to kill time. We're trying to give you guys the most for your bang for your buck.
That's right.
Charles, what are you enjoying these days?
Oddly enough, I'm watching CBS on Netflix. So there was a show that came out shortly after Lost ended. Called Person of Interest. Oh. And, of course, it deals with 9/11 and the Patriot Act and how the government made it to where they could just look at everything. And it took this idea 20 steps further. And Michael Emerson, who was one of the pivotal characters in Lost, he was
Benjamin Linus.
Yeah, he was Benjamin. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember names. I'm glad you threw that in there. I just loved him. And so when I saw that he was going to be in this show, I was like, I'd like to see it. Jim, I can't say his last name, Caviezel. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I've always liked his work, even though to me he's not necessarily an A-lister. He's a very recognizable B-lister. For what I've seen him in, and I could be wrong, he could have been in A-list stuff that I just didn't see. But I've liked him in that. And so I saw it finally just came to Netflix.
He is one of those people that was really like a rising star and just kind of suddenly sunk into obscurity. I really think it was Passion of the Christ that really kind of halted his momentum.
Which sucks because that supposedly was a well-done movie.
Really, really well-done film, really powerful performance. Like, I mean, he was fantastic. Right. But I think the problem is that once you've played somebody like Jesus, it's really hard to get cast for other movies.
Okay, how cool would it have been for him to play Jesus and then Deadpool? I mean, come on. That's like the total opposite spectrum.
Right? It's not really in his personality.
No, it's not.
But no, he was great in Pay It Forward. And I mean, like, he had been in a bunch of stuff in that time period, and it's really unfortunate. But, you know, these things happen sometimes. Sometimes you take that big role that kind of ends your career, unfortunately.
Well, technically, he's still going. They're still shooting. They're still currently shooting Persons of Interest, from what I can tell. They've got five seasons. 2015 was the last season, so it's either on now or it finished earlier this year. It dropped onto Netflix. But here's the kicker. This is why I'm still irritated with CBS. Three seasons. That's it. The first three seasons are Netflix. So I don't even have a chance of getting caught up, which is fine. But I'm watching that, and I'm actually watching last time we did an episode, you guys talked about Black Mirror. And you said, oh, it's so good. And it's so amazing. And, dude, you did not freaking prepare me for the first episode at all.
About what they may want to make the prime minister do. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to leave it for the audience. But because I grew up cutting my teeth on Twilight Zone and Outer Limits, and even the new Outer Limits, which I loved the new Outer Limits. And so I'm used to these societal statements and what would happen. And I'm watching the first episode. And I'm like, oh, okay. So they're doing this like terrorist kidnapping thing. And I'm just telling you, people, there is no handing you the moral of the story. You're left on your lonesome. I've never felt so alone watching TV in my life as watching this show. You're left on your own to really figure out what they were doing and what the point of it is. And it is really good. I'm on the back of it, and Clot's going, because I watched that episode and went, oh my God, I don't think I'm going to watch any more episodes.
Oh, no. I think that's one of the weaker episodes. So,
well, I was not prepared. It's dark. It is really dark, the first episode. Be prepared. It's all. It's good dark, but it's out there. So then I watched the second episode. And even then, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I really don't know how I feel about this show. And I've watched up to four. I just saw the one, man, with Agent Carter.
Haley Atwell.
Haley Atwell. That was so good.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Once I placed who she was, watching the sex scene was very awkward because she is gorgeous. And this was done when she was younger, and she was gorgeous then too. But she's just this elegant woman now. And I don't know. I don't want to see her in sex scenes. I want to see her in doing all this classy stuff. And it was weird. But it's good. It was very good.
You know she's an actress, right? She's not really Agent Carter.
I know, but she's, as an actress, I've seen her as herself speaking and doing things, and she just has this air about, there's certain people who are like, yeah, I'd like to see you naked and we're done, but she's not one of those. She's one of those I want to see be the next Helen Mirren, right? Which actually Helen Mirren did naked stuff too, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So yes, Black Mirror. I'm watching that. Thanks to you guys. You, for better or worse, you've changed my world with this show.
Yeah. Well, what I really love about that show is it's a very introspective look at the way humanity and technology interact.
Yeah.
And it really does highlight some of the issues. Like, I don't know if you've watched all of them. It doesn't sound like you've watched.
No, I've only watched like four episodes so far.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a few more left. They're like, did you watch the one with the, where they could record everything?
Yes.
That episode was probably, in my opinion, the most powerful of all of them.
I agree.
Because it really sold the idea that maybe having a digital record of literally everything is problematic. Like, not just problematic, but it probably propagates bad results more often than you would think. And it's just one of those things, because it's like, I don't want to give too much about the episode away, but just, and I love the performances in this show are incredible. So good.
They are.
There we go. The one that really made it for me was White Bear, and it was, I was trying to figure out a way to describe it that wasn't the end, like wasn't the big reveal at the end.
So I haven't seen that one yet.
That's fifth episode, and it's a woman who wakes up in a chair. She can't remember anything about her life. And as she's running around and sees people peeking out of windows and people watching her with their cell phones and things like that. And oh my God, okay. Such a great episode.
So see, I think our timing is crap on a lot of things. We've been working on our network for a year, which is great, and the timing would be perfect. But see, we could start a new podcast of just watching this show and talking about it. I think we really could. I could totally do, after you guys are talking now, I could, not now, obviously, literally, but I could totally do an hour-long show where we just take an episode and pull it apart and give all our, man. But we can't do everything. We just, we don't have the time in the world to do that. But that's what I'm watching.
To wrap up the whole thing about that show, though, one of the things that I really liked about it is the people they cast for it are pulled from a lot of other great shows and movies.
Yes.
So the overall quality of talent that were cast for these episodes, really high. Yes. So, you know, if you follow British television, you will see a lot of people that you're familiar with, and you'll really get to see them play kind of completely different characters than what you're used to. So, really awesome.
Case in point, the Prime Minister in the first episode is Frankenstein's monster and Penny Dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not the first one. not the first one you see in Penny Dreadful, but the second one you see in Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, that's true.
The actual monster, not the monster. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where I recognized him from, and totally.
Yeah, the third one is the doctor's companion.
Yes.
The third Frankenstein.
Yes.
I haven't watched the second season. Stop ruining it.
There's nothing that we're telling. Well, I don't know. We'll stop there.
Yeah, stop right there.
Paul, what are you watching and playing and enjoying?
I am failing to stay on top of television right now because there are too many damn shows to watch. I'm like 2 weeks behind on most of the comic stuff right now. So I got to the reason I am behind.
Dude, come on, Flash. You got to, if you pick one, pick that one.
Well, no, I know. Okay, this is what we do. Like, we usually, Wednesday, we'll sit down and start watching shows, my roommate and I. And we watch all these comic shows together. And it's awesome watching it with somebody else, by the way, because you get to see how each other react to it and stuff. And he's a bigger DC fan than I am. So sometimes he'll just be like, oh, wow, I can't believe they're doing this. Like, you know, the references and stuff. I've been missing it because for the last couple of weeks I've been playing Star Wars Old Republic again because they just released a new expansion and stuff, and I'm like, I'm so into it that I'm like, I don't want to watch a couple hours of TV tonight. I just want to play this game. So I've kind of disrupted my television watching habit. But yeah, I got to catch up. I got to binge. I got to pick
Hey, you know, that Star Wars game is a great recommendation too, though. I played it when it first came out, and I'm looking forward, just from hearing the things you've been describing about it, I'm looking for an opportunity to get some time to get back into it again.
Free. With a star. What do stars mean?
You can play that game for free, but the experience as a free-to-play player is abysmal. Old Republic was pushed to going free-to-play because they lost a huge amount of their subscription base after the first few months, because the original launch of the game was really grindy, and it took forever to level, it took forever to get anything accomplished, and depending on what class you chose, some stories were better than others, and it really wasn't delivering on the MMO experience that most people expected. Here we are 4 years later, and they've kind of accepted that they're not the traditional MMO anymore. They're a story-based game, and they're basically Knights of the Old Republic 2.5. Because they have announced a 3 that they're working on that's in development. So if you were a fan of KOTOR or just Star Wars in general, and you want to run around and be a Sith Lord or a Jedi or any of the other, you know, things, this game is great for that. And it has an incredible story the main class stories are as in-depth and entertaining as a television show would be. And there's 8 different classes to do the stories on. So there's 4 on Republic side and 4 on Imperial side. However, they have streamlined the gameplay so that it is much quicker to level. I was able to do my entire story and level to max level on a brand new character in about a week and a half without just being completely enslaved by it. You know what I mean? I wasn't grinding like 8-10 hours a day kind of thing. They have a couple of three expansions out that have stories that aren't quite keyed into the characters individually, but they have, you know, overarching stories that are interesting too. And they have a whole slew of, each character has a bunch of companions that you can take through the stories with you, and they have different reactions to things you say, and they have different dialogue sometimes. So there's a lot of replayability. I know people that play the same class two or three times to play through the story and just play the other options. Like, you might play through as a Sith, like I just played a Sith Juggernaut. So you might play through the Sith Warrior storyline once as a dark side character and then go through in one of the other specs, because each class has two different subclasses within them, and just play through as a slightly different character that takes all different choices. So you might choose light side, because that's the beauty of the game, is you choose in conversations, you get dark side options, you get light side options. Sometimes you are really forced to choose one or the other because you can remain neutral too. It's really incredible game design. It's just, the game suffered for a long time because it wasn't an MMO. You know, it's really a single player story-based game that has multiplayer elements.
Yeah.
And I stress that, but especially the new content, you basically have to solo all the story by yourself. But they've made these changes. It's a lot of fun to play. It's a lot easier to just pick it up and go now. They've streamlined the whole experience. You can level much faster. You can play multiple characters much more readily. So you don't feel like you have to only stay on your main character. And I'm having a blast. So
awesome.
It's cool. If you played it before, give it a chance again. And if you didn't play it before and ever thought of trying, now is literally the best time.
But you just said the free play was abysmal, so it's the best time to jump in to pay for it.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I'm just asking. I'm clarifying.
The subscription is $15 a month.
Okay.
So if you subscribe for a month, you unlock the most recent expansion as part of that, and all of the previous content. And you don't have to deal with any of the free-to-play gating. Like, there's no money paywalls or anything like that. And they also give you pay $15 and they give you $5 in cartel credits that you can use to buy all kinds of cool stuff in their cartel shop. Because that's their whole thing. The cartel market is their big, their microtransaction aspect. And you can go in there and buy, like, specific costumes and mounts, like speeders and stuff, and all kinds of cosmetic stuff. There's really no like pay to win stuff. Like, you can't buy anything that gives you a huge edge, but you can buy things that allow you to customize your character and really enhance your experience while you're playing that character. So they give you some of that with your subscription. Honestly, if you played for a month, even if you played pretty casually, you could get through a single character story and probably do all of the expansion stories, and you could just walk away. If that, you're like, all right, I played through the whole thing once, I played as one character, I'm good. $15 is all it will cost you. As opposed to, like, WoW, for example, World of Warcraft, you have to buy the most recent expansion. And they usually discount it after a year or so, but still, you have to, you know, pay for the expansion and pay for the subscription. Some of the other games, you have to buy the base game. Other options are vastly more expensive than they are now. It is literally sign up for an account, and you can get a reference or referral from a friend if you know somebody who plays. They can give you a code that'll give you 7 days of subscription time and a couple of other little goodies to get you started. And then $15 will buy you a month, and you know, that's plenty of time.
If you like that code, email us at BTP at Giant Size Team Up Network.
Yeah, if you want a referral code,
and Klotz will hook you up.
Contact Paul Klotz on Facebook because he will give you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically they've really made it, they've structured it so that it's easy to get back into it. It's easy to give it a try. But don't try to play it free to play. It just,
you'll be disappointed in the experience.
Oh, it's so bad. Like, like a free-to-play character can only have so much money. They have to pay to use all these extra features, like just basic quality of life, transportation and stuff like that. It's miserable. Just pay the $15. And if you hate it, you're out $15 and you're fine. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
It's like a movie ticket, you know?
That's smart. That's a good way to do it, for sure.
That makes sense.
And if you enjoy it going forward, you know, you can keep playing. And there's 8 different stories to wander through and try a bunch of different ways. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
So what are you watching and playing, Ibbit?
I have been on a Hulu kick lately, and there's an original show on Hulu that I've been digging called Casual. Now, you know, no great connections to sci-fi or comics, TV or anything like that, but it's a really clever show. It's original programming on Hulu, which is always, you know, you kind of worry it's going to be hit or miss. It's got Michaela Watkins, who was on Saturday Night Live for a while. When you see her, you recognize her instantly as being on a bunch of other different things, doing little bit parts, comedies and dramas and stuff. It's five episodes in right now. New episodes come out every Wednesday. It's a show about a brother and sister who go through breakups on each side of their relationships, or like they both go through serious breakups. And so they end up living together, and all the trials and trials and tribulations from living with a sibling. I've also gone back and watched some Community, you know, while this,
yes,
while this we're in between seasons of Rick and Morty. I needed my Dan Harmon fix. And mm-hmm. after watching Rick and Morty, so I'm a big fan of Community. Watched the whole series, even the Yahoo stuff, and have gone on to other things. And of course, watching Rick and Morty, you get some of that humor. When you go back to Community after watching Rick and Morty, you see the genesis of a lot of that great Rick and Morty randomness and the humor and the self-referential stuff. Community's first five seasons are all streaming on Hulu, and they are a blast.
And then you go over to Yahoo for free, CBS. You go over to Yahoo and watch it over there, and it's really good.
That's right. Yahoo Screen for that sixth season.
I actually haven't watched the most recent season.
It's honestly, it's better, I thought.
I don't know about better. Well, it's better than the non-Dan Harmon season by far.
Oh, yeah.
So better than season four.
Yeah.
On par with season six. I'm sorry, with season five, for sure.
Good, good. Awesome.
Last thing is a game on iOS that my co-host Scott Johnson told me about last night, and I've been playing it nonstop ever since. It's called FAIF, which is a really crappy name for a game. It's F-A-I-F. But it is a head-to-head game where you're given a grid of about 36, I think it's 6x6 grid, 36 symbols. And those symbols are either a sword, a heart, a skull, or a gem. Gems are money, hearts are life, swords are the attack the other player, and skulls increase your attack depending on how many of those you get selected. Now, what you do is you take turns, you're alternating with your opponent, and you're shown your grid. And what you have to do is select five squares that are all tangential, and they can be any combination of swords, hearts, skulls, whatever you want to pick. As soon as you pick your fifth one, it's going to randomly cycle through those five symbols and pick one at random. Whatever you get applies immediately. So if you choose a heart, if it randomly picks a heart, you get an extra life. If it chooses a sword, you attack your opponent for not only one for the sword, but also an additional one for any skulls that you've also chosen. But if a skull gets selected, you lose a life. So it's kind of like a gambling thing where you're saying, all right, I feel good about two swords, two skulls, and a heart. And then you've got a chance of inflicting some major damage, but you've also got a chance of inflicting damage on yourself. But there's always that heart that says, if that one comes up, then it's going to increase your life. It is, you know, games only last a couple minutes, so it's a great pick up and play game. It is so much more fun than it sounds like on paper. It is a total blast. You can do multiplayer where you can actually jump in with a bunch of friends who all share a four-digit code, and they all end up playing against each other and moving up through the ranks. This is also one of those things where when you win your first game, you go on to your second one. When you win your second one, you know, you keep on moving up. But if you lose at any point, you drop back down to your first game. And if you get through to your fifth game, your fifth round, then you go up against a boss who has more life, and you've got to be a little bit more strategic. So it's called FAIF, and it's a blast.
And is that a free to play, or is that how much does that run?
It's $1.99, but there's no freemium business. Like, it's, you know, once you've paid the $1.99, everything is unlocked. No buying stars, buying coins, buying chits in the game, whatever. It's all unlocked, and you can play it for forever.
There you go. Cool.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to one you said you were playing before.
Yes.
That, Laura, I think it's called Lara Croft Go.
Yeah. Did you play that?
No, because it's $5. And I just wanted to make sure. I'll give a quick review on that because I've eyeballed it so many times, but I'm like, what if I don't play it? You know, I know $5 is not much. I mean, it's a freaking Big Mac at McDonald's. But I don't know. I just have this thing in my head. It's like games have to have value for me. It's weird.
This one has a great, I wouldn't say it's got a replayability value. Well, I take that back. There is a replayability value to it when you want to collect all the hidden gems and unlock more outfits for Lara Croft. But the primary game of getting through each level and figuring out which moves you need to make. So if you think of it as sort of a turn-based game, your each level is like a grid. And on that grid, you've got Lara Croft, you've got various traps, you've got various monsters. And as you move, those monsters are going to move in predictable ways, like a certain creature might pace back and forth across a series of squares. Some enemies will stand still until you're in their direct line of sight, and then they'll start coming after you. And you use all these things to trigger plates that, you know, pressure plates to open other gates, traps that shoot out of nowhere, balls that roll after you like Indiana Jones, the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it's all really, really gorgeous, almost like you're playing with a plastic toy.
Nice.
It's a beautiful looking game.
It's a big puzzler, though, basically.
It is a big puzzler. And it's one of those things where, oh, you know, I got 5 minutes. I've got, you know, 2 or 3 minutes while I'm waiting in line. I'm going to do a level on Lara Croft Go. The whole thing is probably, it's like 6 zones with like a dozen levels in each zone. So it's, you know, 70 plus levels to go through puzzles. So you get a lot of bang for your buck. Now, in addition to just getting through each level, there's hidden gems, hidden glowing buckets that you find on each level. And they either contain a bit of a crystal or a bit of a relic. And when you collect all of them, you get different outfits that you can equip on Lara. It doesn't change the way the game plays. It's just a visual thing, but it's kind of fun. It's like, oh, I only missed one. Oh, I'm going to go back and play that level while I still know how to do it. I'm going to go collect that other bucket. $5 is, it's totally worth it. I also bought Hitman Go. I think that's okay, but I don't think it's as worth the $5 as the Lara Croft one is.
Cool.
Very cool.
So check that one out too, Lara Croft Go. And I think I already mentioned Commute, which I think is just a blast game. Yeah, I think I talked about that on one of the first ones of these. So
yeah, I played that one after you recommended it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's another one of those games that's beautifully done. Like, it looks like you're playing a toy. And I think, you know, I'll always put gameplay over anything else, but if you've got a game that looks beautiful, I'm all for it.
Well, that is awesome, and that is it for this week. So we're, for Brian Ibbett, for Paul Klotz, I'm Charles McFall. We are proud and awesome founders of the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can check out other shows that play with us well, team up with us, as you would say. I could have told you, I'll try to tell you. Marvel Cinematic Universe, MCU cast. You can check them out. DC on Screen is amazing. Of course, Panel by Panel. I host with Uncle George. We've got new shows coming up featuring Paul Klotz. We've got King Fisher with all his videos and everything else. So check it out. We're still in the soft launch process, so everything is going up. Paul, very quickly, tell them where we're going to launch this on December 26th. What event are we doing to highlight that?
We are going to have, I guess we'll call it Discothon.
I like it. I like it.
Discothon. I thought about Bootython, but that just sounds like a completely different
event. Probably, I'm sure Vivid Entertainment probably already owns that one.
Probably.
We're going to have the Discothon on the day after Christmas, December 26th, which will be 12 hours of gaming, and we'll have some panels as well. Like, we'll do some shows, little mini shows, where we are going to honor our good friend, an early supporter of From the Helicarrier, Jesse Henderson, who passed away last year or this past year. And we are going to raise money in his name and donate it to a local children's hospital in his, you know, where he lived, which is in Indiana. So it is a Extra Life event. We will have everything set up for that. Once we get a little closer, you'll be able to come hang out, listen to us talk about stuff, watch me and some other folks play some games. And also, if you want to, you can donate to an excellent cause in supporting a community that supported and raised somebody who supported us so well. I just said supported like 80 times. But like, that's all right. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Jesse was a huge inspiration for us, a big supporter, an amazing person, someone who was just always a source of positivity and, you know, good reflection, fair criticism, like everything, you know, perfect. Everything you would ask for in a fan and in a friend, and we just want to honor him, and we will probably make this an annual event. So this will be the first time. Stay tuned. We'll have more details on that. And I don't have everything ironed out yet, you know. So once we get a little closer, I'll be able to plug some exciting stuff and what you can expect.
If we only knew a good logistics guy that could help you with that. check out, I did forget to mention this guy. He's a great guy. Check out Blazing Defender over on YouTube. He's one of the newest players on the Giant Size Team Up Network, and he's doing some great work. And we're still working with him to get some stuff up to snuff, but he does some amazing content, and he's got great energy. Travis Jones, check him out there. And on the next episode, not promising a whole lot, but, you know, we might just have somebody who knows a whole lot about comic books stopping by. So you're going to want to tune in to see what special guest we have. The first guest that we'll have here on Breaking the Panel. Until next time, I think that's it for us.